In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, August 5th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number two of our program today, Robert Tobias of American University joins me to talk about some best practices he's learned for government from overseas. An interesting conversation about what governments outside our borders are doing to improve performance and measure that performance. That's hour number two of the program today. Our first hour, as we do every Thursday in the 1 o'clock hour, is reserved for industry chatter, and I'm happy to welcome William Hoover, President and CEO of American Systems, to the program today. Thanks for coming in. Nice to see you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about what your company does, the thumbnail, elevator speech, whatever you want to call it.
American Systems is a privately held, majority-owned ESOP corporation. We just celebrated our 35th anniversary earlier this year. We are essentially a government services contractor. About 95% of our business is with the federal government. And we try to focus on the areas that make a difference to the country in what I'll call the national priorities.
Mm-hmm. And those are?
Well, if you really look at it, the number one priority of any president, regardless of party, regardless of gender or anything, is really to protect this nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. The foreign aspect of that is really what I'll call a DOD mission. Mm-hmm. But DOD does a lot of things. We like to try and, you know, stay involved with the things that matter from the perspective that we have the best young men and women that serve in our armed forces. We provide them the best real-time information. We call that C4ISR. That's a vertical market that we focus upon, which we focus. We provide them the best training. We call that readiness, another vertical. Mm-hmm. We provide them with the best equipment, and we call that acquisition and logistics. And then when you get into the domestic side, pre-9/11, that would have been Department of Justice mission, a law enforcement mission, but post-9/11, it's a law enforcement, you know, DOJ plus Department of Homeland Security, and we call that citizen safety. And then when you really look at it, there's a national intelligence mission that spreads and provides appropriate information, you know, to all entities, and we call that national security. So they're the five verticals that we play in.
That's an interesting area to be in. It seems to be where all the action is in the contracting community.
Well, it's where the priority is.
Yeah.
And if you want to play and make a difference, you have to find the priority areas and play there.
You've used that term "make a difference" a couple of times now. Why is that a priority for your company rather than, this is going to sound like a softball, rather than just earning return for the ownership?
Because quite honestly, if you really look at the makeup of companies in our industry, most of the individuals actually have served in the government in some capacities. Oftentimes in the military, oftentimes in the government's civilian service sector. And quite honestly, you gain, when you do that as a young man or woman, you actually believe that you have, the nation has a great mission and, you know, it's a great nation and you want to support the mission.
You are a graduate of the Naval Academy, according to your bio, and served in the Navy, and thank you for your service to the country.
Appreciate that.
Do you think that gives you any kind of insight as to how your company will do business with DOD and with the other agencies in government?
Well, I think that certainly, you know, any of the service academies, the Naval Academy certainly was one of those. As a young man, in my particular case, it imbued me with a sense of purpose about what this nation is and does, and, you know, my intent to contribute to its objectives as we go forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that that certainly is the case with all young men and women that go to the service academies. But at the same time, it's the case of all young men and women that serve in the military or the government service, you know, they learn that ethic. They learn that this nation is one of the best. It is the best nation on the face of the globe. It is a wonderful place to be, and we need to make sure that we protect it going forward.
From the officer perspective, and I know you're on the outside looking in now, not serving active duty as an officer, but when you deal with officers in the Navy and others as a vendor, what's changed between the time that you served and today? What are officers thinking about, or maybe what should they be thinking about in your view that they didn't have to when you were active duty?
I think when you look at I enlisted in the Naval Reserves in 1966 as a 17-year-old and ended up getting an appointment to the academy as through the Naval Reserves. And what I if you recall, you probably don't remember this, but back in those days we had the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was the late 60s and the 70s, and I'm not sure that everybody shared that sense of purpose
was
is the way I would describe
it. In the United States at that time.
And,
that's correct.
You know, so I think that when we went to the all-volunteer force, the caliber of the individuals that serve in the ranks just tremendously was upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that the young men and women that serve in uniform today are – you know, without question, the best that we have, and they were certainly better than I was and some of the people that I worked with or served with back in those days.
What are the biggest challenges you find in dealing with DOD at that level, at the level of the person who winds up using the services that your company provides?
Well, and again, this goes back to making a difference with the services that you provide. I think that when we interact with our end user customers or with the beneficiaries of those end users type of thing, they recognize and understand that we are doing things that enable them to do their mission better,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps survive their mission better.
Yeah.
And so therefore, we find that the folks, when we do not have any what I'll call trigger pullers, we do not carry weapons and that sort of thing, but we do routinely deploy individuals into theater, and they work very closely with their uniform counterparts. You know, for example, in IED forensics development when there are explosions over in theater or a variety of other, you know, purposes.
I ask that because I think sometimes we get hung up when we talk about and think about contracting and acquisition and so forth. I think we maybe sometimes stick ourselves too closely to the vendor and acquisition officer or acquisition department relationship and don't necessarily think about the service provider to end user relationship and think of the acquisition people as kind of an in-between or a go-between in that relationship.
You know, it's very interesting. As we've kind of walked around. I'm not a young man any longer, and I've been in this industry for 30 years. And when I first joined the industry in 1980, I remember the term of art for contractors was Beltway Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I hated that term. And I remember I was down working at NAFC down in Crystal City at this particular time, and I was talking to a friend of mine who happened to be still in the service. And I asked him, why do you use that term? And his comment back to me, he says, well, the reality is we know that when the going gets tough, you'll get going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meaning contractors are going to evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
And that all changed. And I'll say it changed in Gulf War I.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was not at BDM at the time, but I remember, when Saddam Hussein came into Kuwait, there was a broad scale order issued by the State Department to evacuate all U.S. personnel. And BDM had two major contracts in Saudi Arabia. They had about a couple hundred people that supported those contracts on those two contracts. And the two program managers got together and they said, hey, look, our job is here. You know, we're not leaving just because, you know, there's a problem. Now, what they did do is they took all their dependents and evacuated them,
mm-hmm.
but the BDM employees stayed and, you know, throughout the conquest. I was at a company called PRC at the time, And I had, you know, probably 50 to 100 people in theater. And what you saw after that was that the contractors did not up and leave. Mm-hmm. They stayed and they continued their mission. And I think that you saw a change in attitude as a result of that.
William Hoover's president and CEO of American Systems, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. More about doing business with the government from his perspective when In-Depth continues on Federal News Radio. 1500 AM. Back in a moment. Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more.
This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to McClune's Pier House, National Harbor's newest waterfront dining destination. Dine inside or out and enjoy spectacular sunset views and live entertainment on weekends.
Results Gym, just in time for summer. Get in shape with a one-month membership for half off. And Empire Auto Detailers. Get your gift certificate today and get your car detailed on site. The Empire Way.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com. PriceDC.com.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355. Or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
The case is about an attorney who managed assets for elderly clients.
At some point during this process, he began diverting money to his own expenses and his own personal business interests, which were very risky. He lost all their money.
While saying their investments were secure, Special Agent Todd Yorheim of FBI's Atlanta Division says the bulk of this began in about 2006.
All total, he lost over $4.3 million that we were able to identify based on the 9 victims that we identified.
Yorheim says there's a lesson.
People who are in positions of public trust just need to be honest with their clients in these financial times. It doesn't make it better to add deceit to the mix.
The subject maintained his innocence.
When we started interviewing victims, it became apparent that he was definitely covering up his scheme.
He pled guilty to wire fraud, receiving just over 5 years. He also has to pay restitution of the over $4.3 million. FBI investigated with the Secret Service and the Topeka, Kansas Police Department. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey parents, introducing the Communicizer. Go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
I love you, Dad.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Thursday edition of the Dorabeck Insider. Only weeks left in the government's fiscal year. Is there an end-of-the-year spending spree? Ray Bjorklund of Fed Sources, he's been parsing the numbers. We'll talk to him about where that money's going. And securing cyberspace. It's a global challenge. We'll talk to GAO about what agencies can do to be prepared. All that and more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is William Hoover, President, CEO of American Systems. Your company's been doing business with the government for a long time. You've been doing business with the government for a long time. You think it's getting easier or harder to work with the agencies and in particular with DOD?
Well, I would say that each era, you know, presents its own set of problems. I think that there was a major change that went on back in the early 90s, 94, 95 time frame, when there was a reinvention of government, so to speak, by the Clinton administration, mm-hmm. and that required a lot of change, you know, and different attitude. And certainly after 9/11, there was a lot of change. And I think that there's change now. I think that's actually good. I think the change is generally good for people.
And so is it maybe not fair then to characterize it as easier or harder, just different?
I would certainly say that it is different, very different. I think the hardest part are the reporting requirements are getting greater and greater, if mm-hmm. you will. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with reporting, but it sometimes can get a little bit overzealous.
One of the things that a number of people that range from industry people to people like General Dick Myers have told me is the fact that everything has to go through, every different branch has its own testing requirements and so on and so forth, and a lot of people have called for uniformity in that. Do you think as a Navy man there's any hope that something like that can happen? I know that you and your colleagues have your requirements, and they may not necessarily be the same as, you know, what the Army needs or Air Force or whatever.
Well, what I would say is that if I go back through history, you know, there was a lot of what I'll call stovepipes back in Gulf War I, mm-hmm. That existed. That's actually the advent of C4ISR, was they couldn't get information to the various individuals that needed it. And that changed over time after that. And we are a joint force now. And that's not to say that we don't have bureaucracy. Government has bureaucracy. But I think that we've changed and are more joint, more purple than we've ever been in our nation's history.
What's the advantage to that, do you think, in the contracting world?
Well, I think that it probably makes it a little bit more efficient if you're manufacturing. It makes it a little bit more efficient in the manufacturing process, and it certainly enables us to, from a services perspective, we are not manufacturers, and enables us to more clearly understand the requirements.
We only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, and I want to kind of flesh this out a little bit when we continue, but one of the things that people talk about is, especially in defense, with the shrinking of the acquisition workforce, curious to hear your thoughts about how the workforce is doing when it comes to being able to weigh maybe competing ways to get to the same end, the way that your proposal to solve an issue at an agency might be different than what mine is. Involve entirely different components and whatnot. Curious to hear you talk a little bit now and then more when we come back about how that works, how you think the acquisition workforce is doing when it comes to being able to weigh apples and oranges.
Well, I think probably the biggest issue with the acquisition force is the government has had an atrophy, if you will, in their professional acquisition managers, and that is something that I think the industry has actually been talking about since the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can get to the point where this changes now, that would be great, and we can talk about it further.
Yeah, I want to do that, and I also want to talk about, from your perspective, the fact that one of the places that the agencies talk about getting good acquisition people to beef up their workforces is from industry. So there's people, I imagine, at your company that have agency targets on their foreheads, and that can be an interesting dance, I imagine, between you and your workforce, keeping them happy and so that they don't go back over to the government side. Have you seen any of that?
You're probably referring a little bit to insourcing,
yeah.
And that sort of thing. We actually have not had a lot of insourcing. I call that recession is when the other guy's out of business. Uh-huh. Depression is when you're out of business.
Right.
We're not seeing insourcing.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break with William Hoover, President and CEO of American Systems, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Robert Tobias of American University joins me in hour number two today to talk about management at your agency and cues you might be able to take from agencies in other countries. He's just back from Brussels, and we'll get some insight from Bob in hour number two of the program today on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower following an unexpected rise in weekly jobless claims. The Dow's down 15 points, the Nasdaq lower by 52. The Labor Department says the number of Americans making new claims for jobless benefits rose by 19,000 to 479,000 last week. That's the highest level in nearly 4 months. How low can they go? Well, mortgage rates are falling yet again and breaking another record. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan is 4.49%, down from 4.54% a week earlier. And the cementing of BP's blown-out well in the Gulf of Mexico has begun. Engineers are trying to permanently kill the source of the world's worst marine oil spill by piping cement down the well after earlier injections of heavy drilling mud this week subdued the upward pressure of its oil and gas. Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts, sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-9955 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-9955. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-9955. That's 800-912-9955.
Assets for elderly clients. Solutions report provided by Aon Consulting.
With federal hiring reform and a shortage of qualified applicants, agencies need better tools. Aon's telephone assessment programs, TAPS, can help. TAPS is a proven method to assess a candidate's skills through realistic job simulations, and Aon provides same-day results that meet the highest professional standards and are legally defensible. After Aon worked with an agency on a 13,000-employee TAPS program, the new hires were more successful during training and better matched to the job.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
The case is about an attorney who managed assets for elderly clients.
At some point during this process, he began diverting money to his own expenses and his own personal business interests, which were very risky. He lost all their money.
While saying their investments were secure, Special Agent Todd Yorheim of FBI's Atlanta Division says the bulk of this began in about 2006.
All total, he lost over $4.3 million that we were able to identify based on the 9 victims that we identified.
Yorheim says there's a lesson.
People who are in positions of public trust just need to be honest with their clients in these financial times. It doesn't make it better to add deceit to the mix.
The subject maintained his innocence.
When we started interviewing victims, it became apparent that he was definitely covering up his scheme.
He pled guilty to wire fraud, receiving just over 5 years. He also has to pay restitution of the over $4.3 million. FBI investigated with the Secret Service and the Topeka, Kansas Police Department. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Which agency has the best food or cafeteria? Who has the best gym? What about the agency with the best overall location, the best parking or transportation options? Who's the best dressed vet you know? Federal News Radio is having some fun this summer with our Best of the Federal Government feature. Throughout the summer, we'll ask you to vote for your favorites. Voting has officially begun. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of. That's federalnewsradio.com, keyword Best Of.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. William Hoover, President, CEO of American Systems, my guest on the industry chatter today. And we were talking during the break about the acquisition workforce and insourcing and a number of these issues. And I mentioned to you that when inherently governmental is talked about and when insourcing is talked about, normally we're thinking about it and talking about it in a kind of a 3 to 5 year or maybe 10-year at the most window, and we're thinking about it. But it's an issue, as you talked about during the break, I think very eloquently. This issue's been around for a long time. It goes back to the early 90s.
It does, and it when the force was downsized in 93-94 time frame as part of the reinvention of government and that type of thing, Cold War is over, mm-hmm. so we don't need the standing force that we needed. What happened was is that when the uniformed individuals actually went closer to the pointy end of the spear, so to speak, but mm-hmm. the requirements in the background, in the logistics side or the acquisition side, didn't go away.
Right.
And somebody had to do them, and since there was a cap on the civil servants, they actually brought in contractors, and that's where I think we really got into a lot of activities or a lot of services being performed that perhaps should have been performed by the government. And this is where I think industry itself, the Professional Services Council, Stan Soloway, you probably have spoken to.
Many times, yeah.
Alan and Stan are very strong advocates of the government doing the things that the government should do mm-hmm. and let industry do the things that they do best. Mm-hmm. So it is a longstanding discussion.
You said during the break that industry would love to see the government do what it should do and let industry do what it is qualified to do. But that involves a defined specific list of which is which. What's the likelihood of that happening anytime soon? It doesn't appear to be on the horizon.
Well, I think that, Secretary Gates has provided broad guidance, and I think that needs to be clarified a little bit further. But that is the challenge. And until that happens, I think it's always there's going to be controversy that will continue.
Back in May, Secretary Gates gave a speech that we covered here on Federal News Radio. He gave it out at the Eisenhower Library in Kansas. I'm sure you're familiar with that speech, where he talked about essentially a total revamp, for all intents and purposes, of how the Pentagon does business. Ashton Carter has talked about it. Bill Lynn has talked about it on a number of occasions since then. How does what Secretary Gates, Mr. Carter, Mr. Lynn, the course that they're pursuing, how does that affect a company like yours that does a lot of business with DOD?
Well, again, I think that what we try to do is understand where the government is headed. We do strategic planning. We've had a plan in place. We update it on an annualized basis and try to understand where our customer set is headed so that we can actually move with that customer set. Again, where we try to focus is in those national priorities. I think and that does impact, a couple of things that I think the secretaries and the assistant secretaries and undersecretaries have been talking about is weapon systems themselves. Mm-hmm. The weapon systems that have been discussed, we have not really done a lot of work with. So technically, I would say that we won't be terribly impacted by that. But we try to make sure that we understand. This comes through conversations that I have with, very senior level individuals in the customer community. It comes from getting knowledge from the Professional Services Council or Tech America or the other various industry associations that we belong to, mm-hmm. and understanding where the customer's going.
Whenever I talk to anybody about developing the acquisition workforce at the agencies, one of the prime sources of talent that they're looking at is industry. You've got people with targets on them, I imagine, because I would think a company like yours has a lot of talented people when it comes to acquisition. How does that make you feel when you know that the agencies that you're working with may be eyeing up some of your people? Because there's no denying that the acquisition workforces at Pentagon, DHS, and all the agencies could use a lot more talent. No reflection on who they have now, but there are just a lot of empty spaces in those agencies.
Well, we were talking about insourcing, and you asked me if we've been had a lot of insourcing. We have not experienced that, okay? Mm-hmm. But we have had what I will call the selective recruiting.
Uh-huh.
And, I think that we encourage our employees to make their best judgments and that sort of thing. We try and treat all of our employees as fairly and as consistently as we possibly can. And we believe that if that individual goes into makes a career decision to go back into government or go into government, particularly since we oftentimes are allowed to hire behind that position,
mm-hmm.
That what we have is the potential for a future satisfied customer,
mm-hmm.
okay, in an appropriate way.
Of course.
Okay, I'm not saying there's anything inappropriate, happening, but if they have a good experience while they're working with American Systems and they go into government, they may, number one, they'll know us better, and
mm-hmm.
number two, have a good, hopefully, be prepared to have a good experience as a contractor.
But you bring up a point that I think is interesting, and that's the vendor-officer relationship. And I'm just an observer. I've never been on either side of that relationship. But it is so dramatically different in dealing with the government than it is in dealing in the private sector. If your company wanted to do business with my privately held company or my company in the private sector, and you and I made a deal on the golf course one afternoon, that's perfectly reasonable, perfectly legitimate. Business happens like that almost every day of the year in the United States. In government, if somebody found out about it, it would show up on the top of the hour headlines on this radio station or on the front page of the newspaper or whatever. Just again, as an outside observer, and it's just my opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with that employee going to the other side and knowing that they can depend on your company to provide a solution. How do you walk that line between making agencies aware appropriately of what you can do for them, not necessarily only at RFP time, developing relationships, collaborating, as Martha Johnson has talked about on a number of occasions since she's taken over at GSA, and falling off of that edge to a place where you shouldn't be?
Well, I think it to be very honest with you, I believe that the government sector is much like other industry sectors in that you have to make yourself known. Now, I think it's totally appropriate that you're not allowed to, create an appearance of impropriety through mm-hmm. gifts, tokens, or whatever. That's totally appropriate. But I think that you try and get to know one another through industry associations. There are constant conferences that go on, totally appropriate for the customer to attend as well as for the company employees to attend so that they get to know one another and that sort of thing. I've been in the industry for 30 years. I started out supporting contracts. Developed the network in that regard, so there is no problem talking with your government counterparts. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for the government, and I think it's good for industry. So I actually don't think that that's a big problem. Now, you also mentioned something that I think is different about the government services industry, and that is there is probably I think in this industry with our customer partners and that sort of thing, collegial, you know, we compete with one another one day and we are absolute bona fide teammates and partners another day. And if you go to these other industry sectors, that does not exist. Mm-hmm. You are constantly at war with your industry associates, so to speak. And whereas we will actually work very closely with one company X one day, and we'll compete against them very aggressively the next day.
Well, you never know when I might need you to sub for you, or you might need to team with me to get a deal or whatever. I guess that's what makes it a lot more fluid than the private sector.
That is very much the case. And the other thing is, and this gets back into the government, the contractor relationships, most of the contractors have been in government.
Mm-hmm.
They actually share and understand and are as committed to the mission that their government counterparts have. And it's a unique environment there.
I agree with you, but there is this perception that the public has, and I want to explore that a little bit and see if there are some ideas that you might have about what might change that moving forward. When we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, my guest is William Hoover, President and CEO of American Systems, on Industry Chatter. We'll be back in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This baseball season, Federal News Radio, HP, and Intel are supporting area troops with tickets to all Washington Nationals home baseball games. A donation of 81 four-packs of tickets has been made to USO Metro on behalf of Federal News Radio, HP, and Intel. Tickets will be distributed through USO Metro's free ticket program, Ticket Line. Visit usometro.org for more information.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
More than 150 experts in technology, as well as stakeholders in education from across 26 states, recently took part in an effort to increase access to learning in rural schools across America. They attended the National Rural Education Technology Summit in Washington. Federal leaders offered examples of where technology has been leveraged to overcome distance, like providing access to college-level coursework online. Education Secretary Arne Duncan announced the formation of an online learning registry that'll provide access to priceless historical materials like those found at the National Smithsonian Institution. More than half of the nation's school districts are located in rural areas, and one-fifth of all public school children, about 10 million, are enrolled in rural schools.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
95 regulations falling to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Some of those regs need to be in place within a year.
Harvey Pitt is Chief Executive Officer, Calorama Partners, and former Chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
The staff of the SEC is very expert and they're very well focused. But I think in this case, the SEC is going to have to outsource some of its efforts.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal Drive.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, William Hoover's president and CEO of American Systems, and my guest on Industry Chatter today. We were just talking during the break about the perception that the general public has of the contracting community and the relationship to the government, and I think that's been exacerbated by some of the things that we've seen in the media over the last year or so about what public perception is of the government, first of all, and then the companies that are doing business with the government, that one kind of rubs off onto the other, and it just seems to the public perception of government and contractors seems to be getting lower and lower. What do you think, is there a role for industry to reach out to taxpayers, to go around the agencies maybe, or in conjunction with the agencies, and say, we understand that you may think that you're not getting the best value for the money that you send to Washington. Here's why that's not fair. And try to help taxpayers understand that the contracting community really is providing a service to the government and ultimately to them.
I think this is an issue that is recognized in the contract community, and I believe that the industry associations are actually are working to try and address that particular issue. I think there are probably a variety of other issues like insourcing, you know, and that type of thing that have come up that have probably maybe moved that to a back seat, so to speak. But the industry is, the intent of the industry and the associations that support us is to make sure that the taxpayers do understand that the contractors and the and industry out there is providing a valuable service. Mm-hmm. It's not, these are things that help us to accomplish the mission that we, you know, that we set out for as a nation.
Mm-hmm. What's the hardest part about doing business with the government in 2010? You talked about some of the regulatory and reporting issues earlier on. Is that one of the things that?
Well, it's for a company, we're privately held. We have no public debt or anything like that. So technically speaking, you would not expect us to be filing and posting, things, all the time. With some of the funding, era and that sort of thing, there's all kinds of reporting requirements that really are, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of initiative, a lot of body sometimes, and it adds cost to the business. And, so we try to make sure that we ensure that we adhere to all regulation, but at the same time do so in a manner that is as cost contained as we possibly can. I think going back to what we were just talking about, one of the biggest issues that we have right now is I think the nation's perception of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that probably plays more to anything else at this particular time with regard to the issues that have and the concerns about government spending, regardless of where it's being spent. I think that really probably is the biggest issue that we face right now.
That's interesting, because I think there are a lot of people in this town that think that it hasn't printed with people for so long. And I think there are a lot of people that are having a hard time believing that once you get outside the Beltway, that it really is resonating. I happen to agree with you. I think that people, my mom and dad in York, Pennsylvania are a lot more aware of the level of deficits and debt here than they ever have been before. But I think there are still a lot of people in town that don't necessarily believe that the moms and dads of the world are paying that much attention.
From what I can gather from reading a variety of media, it does seem like the public awareness is very high right now.
What does that mean, do you think, for the contracting community?
I think that it depends on how government reacts to it. Okay, I personally believe that they will do a top-down assessment, that government's going to do an assessment, understand what do I really need, what are the real priorities. Why am I here? Why is the government here? And that's what we try to, balance. That's why I say that our intent is to be part of the national priority, to focus on the markets that make a difference to the achievement of our priorities as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what is going to have to happen if it's going to be done right, it's not going to be done through necessarily cost cutting necessarily, or, I think everything's got to be on the table. That's what the commission has been chartered to do. The question will be is what are the priorities they come out with, and what are the priorities of the administration, et cetera.
And how competently are those priorities being executed? That seems to be the other element of it that the moms and dads of the world that I talk to are thinking about, not necessarily even the policy end of it so much as is this work being done well.
Right. I think that you got to have the priorities, and then you got to have the benchmarks and the metrics that once you establish those priorities and start to execute against those priorities, that you can tell whether you're achieving them or not.
Yeah. The Obama administration is starting to flesh out some of their performance measures and so on. They're a little bit different than what the Bush administration has done, maybe another step or two beyond what the Bush administration has done. We're going to have a big conversation about that on this show on Monday, talking about how you set those metrics to determine how you're going to measure. Are we headed in the right direction on that, do you think? Are we measuring what you think we should be measuring for?
Well, I think, probably one of the biggest issues that, we're talking about as a nation right now is cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge issue. I think that not everybody even understands how serious an issue that really is to this nation at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. My conversation on Monday includes John Kaminsky, the IBM Center for the Business of Government, who was involved in the Clinton-Gore Transforming Government Initiative, Robert Shea, who was with OMB and led that effort for the Bush administration, and John Desenberger, the Performance Institute. That's Monday at 1 o'clock on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, as we look setting the metrics for performance measurement in government. My guest today is William Hoover, President and CEO of American Systems. We'll be back to wrap up our conversation in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose. Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, the leading global provider of telepresence, high-definition video conferencing, and mobile video products and services, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address the ongoing challenges facing these public sector organizations today. Video breaks down walls of communication between classrooms, boardrooms, war rooms, and operating rooms, and enables the new way of working, high-definition, real-time, secure face-to-face conversations as if you're in the same room. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com. That's www.breakdownthewalls.com.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, August 10th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will focus on critical issues facing government and industry in cybersecurity. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, Navy, and the NRC. Don't miss The Federal Executive Forum, Tuesday, August 10th at noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by SafeNet, McAfee, and HP Enterprise Services.
You're an agent of change, making changes for the better in the face of shrinking budgets and expanding expectations. Amplify your agency's possibilities with unified communication solutions from Verizon that enable you to securely and reliably work where you work best, at a kitchen table or an office abroad. Change your team into a dynamic, interactive 24/7 think tank with our collaboration solutions and BlackBerry Bold smartphones, and transform smaller budgets into bigger successes. So while demands are rising and funds are declining, you can address both with powerful, global mobile voice and data solutions from Verizon. Find out how you can make your teams even more powerful and effective at verizonwireless.com/gov or by calling 1-800-293-3048. Verizon. Rule the air.
Hi, I'm Rinthia Rost from GEICO. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington have been in our community more than 80 years. To ensure that the youth of today will be full partners in a better tomorrow, give a child the gift of a membership for 2010. And while you're at it, reach out and volunteer to mentor a child in your community. Go to bgcgw.org and tell them the Gecko sent you. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
We're back to wrap up on Federal News Radio 1500 AM with Bill Hoover of American Systems, President and CEO. And your company, you talked at the beginning of the program about what your company does. Are there any lines of business that you're involved in that people would say, I would have never expected that a company that does this would also do that?
Well, probably one of the things that I think surprises people when I talk to them, number one, for a relatively small company in our industry, we'll do north of $250 million in revenue this year. We actually have a fairly sophisticated multidimensional strategy. Part of it is vertically focused. We talked about the vertical markets earlier, mm-hmm. but part of it is horizontally focused as well. And when I talk about horizontals, I'm talking about capabilities that we have. We consolidated those capabilities into delivery sets, and I think that for a company of our size to have a lines of business similar to what we have is actually surprising.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very strong consulting practice that we can compete against some of the big firms out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very strong systems engineering, technical information technology focus. We have a custom solutions systems, which other companies call systems development integration. We have human capital and managed services and design and installation services. And at the design and installation services, we actually design and implement very complex, highly secure networks for mm-hmm. our customer base.
Getting close to the end, and I wanted to just find out if you were not doing this, if you could drop it and just do whatever you wanted to do, what would you do? Professional golfer, maybe, or?
Well, I've been married for almost 37 years, and
congratulations.
Thank you very much. And our kids are about out of the house,
mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to be able to take my wife on a couple of trips that she's wanted to go on that we haven't been able to because of my, remain committed to my job
yeah.
as well.
Where do you like to go?
Well, there are a couple of places. Italy is one.
Uh-huh.
She is part Italian, and uh-huh. she has always wanted to go there. And Australia is my dream of choice.
You're a man of good taste, as my wife is also part Italian, so you've made a wise selection there. William Hoover, President and CEO of American Systems, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Francis.
Happy to do it. Hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose is around the corner on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Robert Tobias of American University on with me to talk about some government best practices from overseas. He's just back from spending some time in Brussels teaching and learning, and he will talk about some of the ideas that he shared and some of the ideas he brought back in hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose. Also, a reminder that all of our conversations are archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You can find any of the conversations that we have there and listen back and read about them anytime you want. Lots of other resources as well at federalnewsradio.com. And a reminder about my conversation on Monday on the program, talking about setting the performance metrics at your agency with, we'll talk on Monday with John Desenberg of the Performance Institute, John Kamensky of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and we'll also talk with Robert Shea, who is formerly of the Office of Management and Budget. All of that happening on Monday on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hour number two of In Depth begins in just a few minutes on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.